2005年度第2回実用英語技能検定1級二次試験面接。
1. Is scientific progress always beneficial? I have to admit that I am a bit of a technophile. I am a great believer in the benefits of science and technology, and I just cannot think of any examples of scientific discoveries we've made that we would actually be better off without. Of course, scientific progress has come at a price. Advances in medicine have cured millions of people of diseases that we used to die of, but have also pushed ethical boundaries beyond what some people feel uncomfortable with. Likewise, means of transportation which use oil, such as planes and cars, allow us to travel great distances quickly, but they also damage the environment and create greenhouse gases. Most controversially, nuclear power, which provides lots of homes with light and warmth, has come hand in glove with nuclear weapons. For these reasons, I can see why some people might have reservations about scientific progress, but despite these drawbacks, the benefits in almost every case outweigh the disadvantages. As far as I'm concerned, I would much rather live in a world where we extend the knowledge and uses of science than one in which we are too afraid to use it.
2. Do businesses have certain obligations to the local community? We all have obligations to our local community, and businesses are no different. For example, as an individual, I believe I should be a good neighbor. I should watch how much noise I make, ensure I don't pollute the air or environment, and be careful not to build on my property in such a way as to obscure my neighbor's view. I think businesses are obligated to act like good neighbors. Since larger businesses have a greater capacity to affect even more people in the local community than just their close neighbors, they have to be doubly careful to adhere to this rule. But do they have obligations beyond being a good neighbor? I don't really think so. It is certainly nice if businesses do contribute to the community. For instance, Ford Motors established a symbiotic relationship with their local community, so that when they raised workers' living standards, they benefited from having a happy, skilled pool of labor. Similarly, Nike, who make most of their shoes in developing countries like Vietnam, are also well known for injecting cash into local projects. But I don't think we can expect as much from smaller businesses. After all, they already pay tax on their profits, some of which presumably goes into local services.
3. Is inequality in society inevitable? I think that humans are naturally hierarchical, rather like a group of animals that establish a pecking order. The strongest animals get access to the best food and most comfortable places to rest, and the weakest have to make do with whatever is left. We can see this in human society, although what determines the pecking order is far more complicated than strength or size. People can achieve high status by being rich, successful, clever, or talented, and this in turn brings influence and power. One good example of this is the famous American football player O.J. Simpson, who was accused of murder in the mid-1990s. He was so wealthy he could hire the best lawyers and was able to launch a legal defense that was beyond the means of most ordinary Americans. This shows how wealth and power can lead to inequality in the justice system. This may not be a good thing, but it seems to exist in all human societies. Some countries have tried to artificially create equality, such as the communist Soviet Union. But history has shown that these attempts usually end in failure. And in fact, they often create an even greater divide between those walking the corridors of power and ordinary workers.
4. Can working parents play a sufficient role in raising their children? Expecting parents often find themselves asking if one of them, usually the mother, will have to give up their job in order to look after their child full time. Parents that want to keep working may have several good reasons. They may have a career which they do not want to throw away. They may enjoy working and meeting friends at work. Or they may need the money in order to give their child the best opportunities in the future. On the other hand, many parents will choose to leave work and become full-time child caregivers in order to ensure that their children receive all the attention and love that they can give them. I don't think there is a one-size-fits-all solution to this. Each family has to determine what their priorities and values are for themselves. What I am sure of is that there are plenty of well-adjusted, well-developed children and adults in the world who had happy childhoods despite having two working parents. And I know this because I consider myself one of them. Therefore, I would say that if parents are determined to work hard and raise a happy family, there should be nothing to stop them.
5. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Do you agree? I suppose that there are some lucky people who make gains without trying. Recently, I read about a man who was given the rights to a huge plot of land because the government of his country had stolen it from his family several generations before and were now making amends. But I think these kinds of stories are few and far between. The rest of us have to earn our own rewards, and it seems to me that this expression, nothing ventured, nothing gained, applies to all areas of life. For example, if you have a business idea, you will never know if it can actually work or not unless you start investing your own time and energy into making it happen. Or if you have fallen for someone, the chances are you won't get a date unless you risk embarrassment and make your intentions known. I think many of us have plans or ambitions that we would like to fulfill, but we are afraid of the risk. For myself, I have always wanted to run a marathon, just to prove to myself I can do it, but I have always found excuses to delay training for it. Maybe it's time I began.